Welcome to the Holy Try Podcast with AY, Dan, and Ken.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
We're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air live.
Now it's getting started. I guarantee you that.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, the Holy Triumvirate.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition Holy Try Football Podcast, Week 11 preview. It's me, AY, here, coming to you from the beautiful state capital, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, to my south again. Get used to this, guys.
No!
Not permanent yet, but just get used to it. Below the Mason-Dixon, closer to SEC territory, D-Bird, what's up, man?
I'm a little overconfident right now, and I don't know that I should be.
You're talking in terms of Duke and Pitt?
In terms of Duke and Pitt.
Or are you talking in terms of Dan making it to Maryland?
In terms of Duke and Pitt.
Oh.
The Dukies.
It is basketball season, though, Dan.
Almost.
Almost here.
Almost what? Here to my northeast New York City. Ken, what's up, man?
Feeling chilly up here. How's the weather by you guys? It's finally fall weather. I was wearing a jacket this morning. Did it for the first time yesterday. It's a new feeling.
I busted mine out Monday morning.
Looking at my cell phone right now, it is a comfortable 51 degrees.
Yeah, it's real nice. It's perfect sweatshirt weather.
Yep.
Except for in Kansas, New York abode, it is still hot. I have a fan on because I think I live above a meth lab. It is extremely warm in the abode.
I have the window open, so you'll probably hear the train pretty soon. It's
What type train is it this time? Which type train is coming through this time?
It'll be Oklahoma's.
Iowa.
Oh, yes.
Iowa hype train. Iowa hype train in full effect.
Speaking of Iowa, guys, let's do an abbreviated news and notes here. Real quick, every preview show, we're going to go over some reactions from the playoffs, playoff rankings. Iowa, number 5. You got what? Clemson, Bama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Iowa, Baylor. I mean, it was 7.
Stanford.
I believe Stanford, yes.
Stanford, then OK State. Utah's up there, Florida.
OK State, I believe LSU, then Utah, then Florida.
There we go.
You are correct.
Just, I guess, thoughts on round 2, Dan?
Apparently it took a 42-10 win over Colorado to get Stanford into the top 10. but I have no gripes. I know you're fat and sassy right now.
He's sitting fat and sassy. I was, did you like the comment that the playoff committee took Notre Dame's ability to overcome injuries into account and rewarded them for it? How stupid is that?
That is incredibly dumb.
That's the stupidest thing.
I loved our friends at the Bent Down Fullcast saying that Alabama's going to start sacrificing some players. That was excellent. Oh, man. And then another thing that was brought up, they took into account Stanford's body clocks not adjusting.
Oh, yeah, Northwestern game.
For the Northwestern game because it was a 9 a.m. local time kick for them. So they said they took that into account. The shutdown forecast guys also said that people should just start scheduling games at 5 a.m. so in case they lose. So the body clock can adjust. They have the body clock excuse.
Yeah, not the greatest.
Stupid things.
Not the greatest commentary this week.
Thank you, Jeff Long.
Yep.
But it's more down to it. Little hypotheticals here and there. If things hold serve, people continue winning. Do you think Stanford or Notre Dame, the winner, will be able to make it into the playoff?
I want to say yes, but I just think that the Big 12 is going to catch up if one team holds serve there.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. But say Oklahoma ends up winning all their games. Do you think they make it in over the Stanford Notre Dame?
No.
Even with their impressive closing stretch?
Even with that.
I do think Oklahoma has a little too much ground to make up.
I do too as well. But, like we are in a more likely scenario, I guess, say Baylor wins out undefeated.
That really scares me.
It should.
Iowa or Ohio State, both undefeated, when they meet up in a month or so, the winner of that one you'd have to think would make it as well.
Iowa's losing to Nebraska, so it won't matter.
That will be hilarious.
And then you'd have to think Alabama and Clemson, right? Does seem Stanford or Notre Dame may be left out in the cold. Are you afraid of that, AY?
Obviously, yes, but
yeah.
Hello. But I let myself dream for what, 2 minutes, and then I said, "Just beat Wake Forest first, and then worry about it next week."
Such coach speak, AY. You're not a coach.
You're a fan.
You are a fan.
I'm sticking true to my usual ways. During the week, I am with the Irish fans around here, like rants and bags. During the week, they are big time optimist, especially. And I am always like, stay the course.
You have to bring them down to earth.
Pessimist, yeah. But then on game day, like while the game is on, I am the uber optimist.
Yeah.
You go back and check our tweets last year, Arizona State, down 34-3. I tweeted out, this will be a touchdown game. And, well, it was at one point.
The elusive game where you get blown out twice in one game.
Yeah, that's what I did. I came downstairs after that to some friends, and I was like, well, at least we didn't get blown out. And they were like, well, actually, you did.
You got blown out twice in one game.
No, but the same holds true for the Clemson game this year at halftime. I was not confident, but I knew we'd come back a little bit. Temple, a little nervous, you know?
Yeah. I think I'm the opposite as you. During the week, I talk myself into thinking Penn State's going to do well, and then come game day, they just – and that's their own doing as well. They make me feel terrible, and they play terribly so that I think they're going to do terribly.
I think that as they're playing terribly.
Yes.
You could write your thesis on that.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a terrible thoughts.
Excellent. A little off tangent there with our news and notes.
No, my favorite thing from like the whole playoff reaction thing was Matthias Farley said when the rankings show was going on, he was out walking his dog because the rankings now, they really don't mean much. It matters where you are in the end. And you know, you just got to stay the course. Coach BKY.
Coach BKY. Yep. Coach AY.
Coach AY is my fantasy football name every single year. I think this is year 9 with that. Every year.
Excellent.
So, there's your wrap for the week. One more piece of news parlaying off the Irish talk. Big Bill. Will Fuller back for senior year as of now.
Good news. Good news.
The cynic in me says, wait till the season ends, and we'll see then for sure.
Agreed.
Because there was all this talk this week about senior day, will it be his last game, and he said, no, I'll be back. Kind of out of nowhere, so.
Whatever you do, just don't Google the Sean McCoy sting.
Ooh, yeah, don't do that.
I think he said it twice throughout his sophomore season, so.
Well, shady. What do you expect?
That is true.
Shady aftermath.
A female shady. Invite only. Brothel.
Aftermath. You guys, all right, we got two games to go into this week, and then a little lightning sizzle, so let's not dabble around anymore. You guys ready for these two?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
First one we got, number 2, Alabama. Traveling to Dan's favorite, Stark Vegas.
Oh, that's gross.
3:30 on CBS. Alabama is a 7.5-point favorite. Ken, what do you got here?
Ooh, Mississippi State's been kind of hovering around under the radar. Nobody picked them to do well this year, but they've quietly put together a pretty good season, and they've beaten the people that they have. They should beat. They lost a tough one at the beginning of the season to LSU, and they've held their own against the rest of their schedule. They got a decent defense, pretty good defense, and Dak Prescott continues to carry the team on his shoulders offensively. He's had a fantastic career now, over 10,000 yards. I think they're coming in with a little bit of chip on their shoulder. Alabama's sitting fat and sassy, a little bit of body blow theory in a physical game with LSU. They may be a little overconfident. Mississippi State, after that I'd consider it a beatdown. They got thoroughly outplayed last year in Tuscaloosa. Score might not indicate that, but it was a late comeback on their part. I thought they got dominated in that game. They may have a chip on their shoulder coming in. I think they'll play very, very inspired football, especially in the first half. They may carry something like a 13-10 lead into the halftime. But I think Alabama does eventually wear them out. I think they're going to win a hard-fought game here about 28-20 with a victory that will be just above covering. So I do think Alabama will cover.
All right, good deal. Dan, what do you think here?
For Alabama, my notes include one word, rolling. And for Mississippi State,
rolling of the tide.
Rolling of the tide. Mississippi State, you know, they went into the unfriendly confines of Columbia, Missouri, amid all the chaos down there and took care of business against the Tigers. Dak's a very exceptional college quarterback. And, you know, they'll be coming off, they'll have the extra rest, and for certain extra cowboys should definitely come in handy. Or cowbells, excuse me, should come in handy. My prediction is pretty much the complete opposite of what Ken just said. I think it'll be similar to Mississippi State's first two losses. They'll get down a little bit early and storm back for the backdoor cover. I don't think they did it against Texas A&M, but they did do it against LSU. Good 31-24 Alabama.
Dan, I am with you here.
Even though Ken's never wrong.
As far as the game goes, I'm going to go right in the middle of you two. I think it's just kind of one-score game the whole way through. For Alabama, the last four games post-LSU, they're 0-4 against the number. Two of those times, they were in Stark Vegas. So a little bit of a hangover there. But in the end, I mean, Coker, he'll just do just enough. Derrick Henry had 38 carries last week. He's going to be hurting this week. But that defense is just such beast. I'm not sure what they're going to allow Prescott and Duranier Wilson to do. And Mississippi State here, they're kind of a live dog. I heard Felica say they are 6-1 against the spread last 2 years as underdogs with four wins. They'll be ready. They'll be up. The crowd will be ready to go. I think it's a one-score game the whole way through, but Bama pulls out like one of those Tennessee wins or an Arkansas win from last year or this year even. 23-17, roll damn tide.
I thought when you said you were right in the middle of us, I thought you were going to pick Alabama to win by 7.5.
As far as game flow, that is, to clarify.
Gotcha.
Moving on to the home of the one true champion, the Big 12. Oklahoma Boomer Sooner is rolling, traveling, I don't know what direction that would be, south to Waco, Texas, take on the sixth-ranked Baylor Bears. Over-under 77, the line, Baylor, minus 2.5. Dan, what do you got?
Baker Mayfield. I did not even realize that Oklahoma played last week. They've been firing on all cylinders since the stunner in Dallas against Texas. And last thing I have on them is Sanchez is a bit nicked up, apparently. Thank you, Don Best. Probably would be of some use in the secondary if he can play. For Baylor, Stid the Kid plugged right in last week as most expected. And he should not be Baylor's top concern this week. I'm looking at you, Baylor defense. All the Baylor playmakers are locked and loaded on off, or I should say the rest of the Baylor playmakers are locked and loaded for this one. I hope they bring him enough pyrotechnics. I'm going with Baker Mayfield led us to a victory. Oklahoma only punts once and wins 52-43.
Oh, I hope you're right.
I like the call there, Dan. I like the shootout. I mean, the shootout call, obviously.
Shootout piece.
You look at this matchup the last couple of years, and it's been thoroughly dominated by Baylor. Blowouts, both in Norman and in Waco. I think Baylor has that in the back of their mind, maybe a little overconfident. Oklahoma has that on the forefront of their mind and is definitely coming in with a chip on their shoulder. They're coming in backs to the wall, us against the world mentality that they have been for so long the kings of this conference, and now Baylor's taking it from them, wrested it out of their clutches, and decisively so in blowouts the last couple of years. I think Baylor with Stidham is going to struggle a little bit here. Oklahoma, they are firing on all cylinders offensively. I think they will jump out early, 28-7, 28-14, something like that. And then I think Baylor is going to get their feet under them. They're going to get an important pick, pick six maybe even, and climb, scratch their way back into it. The crowd is going to be a decisive factor, and I think Baylor is going to pull it out here, and they're going to win 45-42.
Okay.
Ooh, even the slight cover, too.
Yes.
I am going to go with Can here, but I'm rooting for Dan, obviously. you sang his jingle. Baker Mayfield is tearing it up. If he wins this game, he's got to be maybe the forefront of the Heisman. 20 touchdowns.
Whoa!
Hey, this is going to be a huge stage for him. And with Fournette, Chris McCaffrey, half people don't even know who he is. Mayfield's going to make a statement if they win this game. I think Baylor wins it, though. Stidham's second start looked good last week. His arm is so huge.
Yeah.
He still has Corey Coleman. He's got to cool off sooner or later, but for now, 51 catches, 20 touchdowns. It's stupid. You did say Baylor has dominated Oklahoma the last four, 42 points a game, 511 yards, two straight boat races, and they have 13 straight home Big 12 wins. Oklahoma, they're rolling. Since their last loss, they're 4-0. Average score, 58-15. Over 300 yards per game difference. It was K-State, Texas Tech, KU, Iowa State, without Super Bowl Richardson. So,
take it for what it's worth.
Take that for what it's worth.
No Super Bowl Richardson, that's not actually Iowa State.
So I'm trying to talk myself into both sides here. At the end of the day, the line is 2.5. That's just weird. I initially was going to downgrade them a little bit because of Stidham, but he looked pretty good last week. And granted, it was one start. It's a second start, still. I think he might struggle a little bit, but I still like Oklahoma. Excuse me. I like Baylor to prevail here. Something like 45-38. We got a nice, healthy slate here in the lightning round, so let's get to it. Started off in the American, number 21, Memphis, that number 24, Houston, the Cougars, 7-point favorites this week. Dan, what do you got?
The AAC stays in the picture for another week, 42-38 Houston.
Good deal. Ken?
Yeah, I'm going with Houston as well. They were my locks a couple of weeks ago and delivered with the shutout. I'm rolling with them again. I'm not locking them up, but they're going to cover here. They're going to win 35-21. Yes.
Not sure like that final score. You just mentioned a lock. Dan, can you hit the sound for us here?
Oh!
Lock it up.
Houston, Memphis, over under 70.5. Patterson, I haven't heard from you, but I'm assuming you hate my totals. Here it is again. I'm going over this time, baby. Points, points, points.
Okay. Paxton Lynch.
Let's go Houston. Let's have fun with this. Houston, 64. Memphis, 53.
A la Western Kentucky Marshall.
We're going way over, baby.
Way over.
Over the Cougs cover.
Okay.
Let's move on to Florida, the Gators at South Carolina. 7.5-point favorites are the Gators. Can we got?
This one is tough. I heard Spurrier was kind of considering being in attendance for this one, but
I heard that,
decided.
I heard now he's not.
Yes, but decided against it.
Right.
I'm glad he is staying away from this one. Florida, this is a very unappealing game. I'd tell people not to watch it. It's this one, after, especially after last week's game, I really have jumped off the Florida bandwagon. The defense is still going to be pretty good, but I expect a very ugly game here. I think South Carolina is going to cover here. Let's say, let's go 20-17, 17-14 kind of game. But Florida wins. Yeah. But Florida wins, but 20-17, 17-13, 3-point game, something like that, real ugly.
Okay. Dan, do you agree?
Am I the only one that doesn't get this line? 31-10 Gators.
Whoa! I have zero analysis for this game. Both teams are just gross. Give me 20-10, Florida grinds out another one.
Whoa. Pharaoh.
Pharaoh Cooper.
Moving a little north. Actually, well, we're going south for this one. NC State at Florida State. Spread is 10. Don't know who's playing quarterback. I really just don't care. I think Dalvin Cook has a pretty solid game. And NC State traditionally gives Florida State trouble, but usually at their place. Florida State 31, NC State 17.
NC 17.
Dan, do you agree?
I do agree. Sean McGuire, I believe, will be the starting quarterback once again. He and the Noles bounce back 38-23 FSU.
Ah, we are all in agreement. Like Dalvin to have a big game, as well as our friend, the fellow Seatonian, Sean McGuire. I think Florida State's going to win bigger, 45-21.
Oh, okay, there you go. Another AAC Temple, 22 after the 60-point barrage last week, traveling to South Florida, where South Florida has 3 losses this year to Florida State, Memphis, and Houston. But they're 3-0 as a home dog this year. I think it might be 4-0, but I can't do it. Got to go with the SOS. Temple, the offense simmers down a bit with an ugly one, 24-20.
Ooh, ugly. And Temple's done that quite a few times this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to win here. Willie Taggart, the bus is he's kind of heading in the right direction, I think, as long as you're on it.
Certainly.
But they were running into a tough team here. Temple's going to be slow out of the gates. It's going to be a real ugly game. But I think they do pull away late. They will end up winning 31-20.
Yeah, I get a 33 spot F+. Disparity in this one. Give me the Owls 23-14.
I like that. Arkansas, fresh off that sweet win last week, traveling to LSU. LSU 7.5-point favorites. Arkansas won 17-0 last year. You know, I still got that soft spot for my darling Hogs. They cover, lose by 1, 31-30. Tigers win. Hogs cover. Ken, what do you think?
I think LSU's going to get off the schneid here. They are going to get Fournette rolling again. 172 yards for little red Fournette. And LSU's going to roll here. They are going to win 31-17.
I agree with Mr. Zoo. Bert used all that voodoo or whatever it is hiding under that grill cover. 24-13, Tigers.
Oregon,
a shaman cape.
Quack attack, traveling to the farm. 10-point dogs at Stanford. Ooh, Dan, does your fellow Dan Rubenstein's death keep it going?
Oh, man. Shaw went 2-1 against Mariota. I think he goes 1-0 against Adams, and I think they do it somewhat emphatically. 45-27 Cardinal.
Really?
Oregon used up all their yards last week, Ken.
They did, but they're just getting rolling now, I think. I like Oregon to keep it close here. They're going to lose a tough one here, but it's going to be about 38-33, Stanford.
May I interject real quick before you make your pick, AY? Ken has the biggest soft spot for Rutgers in Oregon. Loves Oregon. Loves Oregon.
He does.
Loves Oregon.
Well, Stanford's 4-0 against the spread at home this year, and Oregon's D is ranked 60th out of 65 in efficiency ratings for Power 5 teams. One more thing. Stanford has the wild calf. Check out the hashtag. McCaffrey runs wild.
The wild calf.
Stanford wins. Oregon maybe scores late. But Stanford, a comfortable 45-31 victory.
Is that a play on, like, a baby cow? Are they calling him a calf?
I don't know. Look it up. I saw his Heisman campaign was launched yesterday. The website. Yeah. Oh.
Wildcalf.com.
McCaffrey is running wild out there. Utah, number 10. No one's talking about him.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. They're going down this week.
Whoa!
Six point favorites in the desert. Rich Rod's not going down again at home. They scored 30 at home every week this year. They do it again. They score 40 this week. That Utah D. Arizona, 40. Utah, 34.
Give me Utah here. And Dan, we got to get a little bold here for the Holy Tri Troll. He says we're not bold enough. Lock this game up for me.
Lock it up.
Utah's going to win here 41-30 at home. Similar game to UCLA earlier in the season for Arizona. They're going to get run all over by Devontae Booker. This one is going to be pretty decisive. They're going to come back late, make it a little close, but it'll be pretty decisive for Utah.
I agree. This Arizona team is shot. Rich Rod might even be on a job interview instead of going to this game. 38-21, Utes.
Have you picked up on my soft spot for Rich Rod?
Oh, you have an incredibly, incredibly soft spot for Rich Rod.
He's just so good. He's so much fun. And closing out in the Pac-12, Mike Leach and Wazoo travel to UCLA. Bruins 10-point favorites. Dan.
The Leechinator does not die. He gets another backdoor cover. I'm all about the backdoor covers this week. 38-34 Bruins.
Leechinator is going to cover here. I think they're... Ooh. Now, you know what? I'm going with the Leechinator full on.
Ah!
I like pulling upset. I got Mike Leach winning here 41-38.
Wow.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I need to catch up. Give me UCLA. No. Screw it. Washington State is going to lose this game, but only lose by 4. 51-47.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Hit the over, kids. And we get two more to go. Holy Try Games of the Week. Dan, you said in the production meeting. Actually, no, you said in the intro. Feeling good.
Feeling very good about this game.
Again, 3.5 at Duke. Go ahead.
Like Pitt's last conference opponent, North Carolina, there have been a couple of classics in this series. 58-55 with the frantic comeback by the Blue Devils in 2013, and then Pitt lost the heartbreaker where I was actually on my way. I was actually in Morgantown to go to the West Virginia TCU game, if you guys recall. I bolted at halftime, and I thought for sure someone jammed my radio frequency of the Pitt game and tampered with it, but I couldn't believe Duke or Chris Blue missed the field goal at the end of regulation. Duke went on to win 51-48.
Could you not believe it though that Chris
Blewett?
Yes, the oldest joke in the book.
The oldest joke in the book. Offensively for the Panthers, I'm going to go on a limb and say Pitt doesn't score 50 in this one, like the last 2 years. Well, almost like the last 2 years. Although UNC did just hang 66 on them, so I suppose it's not impossible. Nate Peterman, he cannot go 12-31 in this one if Pitt is going to win like last week. But Marquise Williams, you know, he put up over 400 yards and a half, albeit with a slightly more complete receiving corps. Nonetheless, I think the passing game will be a major key to a Pitt victory. Olsen, James, and Hall, you can't ask too much of them in this one. Pitt relied heavily on James Conner last year in the matchup. He ran for a mere 263 in that one. But I don't think they need to match that production for Pitt to get the victory. Just pick up first downs on second, third down and short situations, and then find the end zone inside the five. I don't think I want to see Jordan Whitehead in the backfield in this one, but if they are a bit sluggish, then it wouldn't be the worst idea Narduzzi's had. And just, you know, less drops from the supporting tight end wide receiver cast outside of Tyler Boyd, and I think P Peterman gets his first career 300-plus yard passing game. And remember, kids, this Duke defense gave up 43 to Virginia Tech. So anything's possible at this point. Defensively, I am a little bit concerned about the depth on the defensive line. Both Tyreek Jarrett and Mark Scrappinato, the Michigan State transfer, were banged up after that Notre Dame game and are listed as questionable Saturday, which gives me pause in predicting Pitt will completely stymie the Duke running game. But I've mentioned a couple times over the course of this season, the Duke offense is ass. They literally run the ball and throw five-yard passes, and it works against inferior teams, but they also scored 9 points in a game this year. Fortunately, there's no Will Fuller to worry about this week. Max McCaffrey is certainly not him. So outside of the just overall talent not being very good in the secondary, I'm not too concerned about it in this game. And honestly, the overconfidence, I think the wrong team might be even favored, period, in this one. Give me Pitt outright, 27-21. Panthers, stay in the coastal hunt.
I do like it. I have been wrong picking Duke games all year. Like, I haven't been right at all. So for this, for that sake, I'm going to go Duke 31-27.
Okay.
And I think I just gave you a ringing endorsement there, Dan. A big vote of confidence.
I like the reverse jinx on Notre Dame SOS.
Got to go with my ACC Coastal Champions here, and for the sake of Penn State's future SOS, Pitt is going to win here. They're going to win. Let's go 31-21.
Okay. Yeah, this could be a snoozer. I don't know that you want to be tuning your dials to ESPN News at noon tomorrow, unless you're looking for a little nap before the big games come on.
Yes.
Penn State is on a bye this week.
Thankfully.
Much needed.
They play each other, which is a great matchup, I think.
Can't lose.
Cannot lose.
And the Irish play host to Wake Forest on Senior Day. The spread is 27 for that game. I do not know much about Wake Forest. I know that they've had two quarterbacks. I remember doing their preview at the beginning of the year, and I was kind of laughing at it. I feel bad now, because now it might come back to get me.
I don't know.
Two quarterbacks, sophomore John Walford and freshman Kendall Hinton. Walford's more the passer, Hinton's more a runner. Hinton is their leading rusher in the year. I'm not sure that says for the rushing attack. They do not have a strong line. The strength of their team is the D-line, which is fine. I think Notre Dame's offensive line should be able to handle them. Their go-to target in the passing game is a tight end, Cam Sarhine, so that should be okay. And they got a playmaker receiver if he can catch the ball. It's sort of like the Temple receivers, so it's hit or miss there. And I guess they're really good on third down defense. Rather very creative. They'll do some blitz, some stunts. They'll stun the same formation, same guys, and then drop nine back the very next play. They're always keeping you guessing, which most teams do, but I think they're trying to make a case just to talk up one side of the ball here. And they have a good linebacker, Brandon Chubb. He's all over the field, a lot of tackles, kind of Tyler Matakevich-esque. But I know Notre Dame, they've seen better. But Chubb is a very solid player. As for Notre Dame, interesting to see how they come out in this game. Pro status uncertain. We should know Thursday, so today, what status is. I would like him to not even play. I don't even think it's worth it.
Nope.
Even with the lingering possibility of a slight concussion, just not even be the main thing. More or less his body. He's been saying, he's not a natural running back. Just started this year, and he was saying the bye week really helped him out, feeling a lot better. And I would like that too. I like him just getting a bye week, rest up. Probably played a little bit last game. Save the bye. Josh Adams proved more than capable last week, and Dexter Williams can spell him. I like hoping to get up early. In the second half, sees a lot of Wimbush after last week. He regressed, I think, from the UMass game. that awkward fumble six.
Yeah.
He had a nice run before that, but I want to see him, you know, pass the ball a little bit. Outside, you know, Kaiser just same game plan every week. Run the ball and find Fuller. And that it shows it worked last week. And on defense, Torrey Hunter Jr. played a few snaps at nickelback last week. Notre Dame lost their nickelback in fall practice. So they're trying to, they've been playing safeties there. Matthias Farley, Devin Butler, Coleman, trying to Hunter there, see if they can find something there for the end of the year. Maybe work him in there, get him some experience. And just stay healthy. Defensive line, get after it, rotate in. Cage's been playing well in the back end. Luke and Russell. Hopefully Russell continues to get better. And the safeties, it's one of their good games. Wake Forest was 14-4 against the spread on the road after a bye. I mean, yeah, it goes back 18 years, but Clawson's only been there a few. But, I mean, they're usually underdogs, so that means they come out firing. Notre Dame, 4-13 against the spread as a home favorite between 3 and 4 touchdowns. That's been the case for the last 10 years in Notre Dame, I feel like, minus the 07 year. That team was just dreadful. So with a spread of 27 here, you just don't know how Notre Dame's going to come out. I don't think they're going to come out huge. I think they do come out okay, but nothing huge. Pull away eventually and win this game 41-20. They can't hold anybody under 20 points. I don't know why. So why start now? 41-20, a very comfortable 41-20 win for Notre Dame. What do you guys think?
I got 35-10 Irish. Similarly comfortable.
Yeah. Similarly comfortable. I don't think they cover the 27, but Notre Dame has struggled against some of their easier teams this year, right? Earlier on?
Oh, yeah.
Virginia. Virginia.
They were tied with UMass late in the second. 3 points.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Games like UMass and stuff like that. But I think they do pull away here, and they will win, let's say, 45-21.
Yeah, that sounds where I'm thinking. So, more or less a lazy preview here. I hope the Irish are not lazy in their game prep and play on Saturday. But one more game I want to get to was Wyoming, San Diego State. You know, I got the soft spot for the Cowboys.
And you know San Diego State needs to win for a Penn State strength of schedule. If the chips fall right, they still have a shot at playoff. They need all the help they can get. San Diego State needs to win.
This game is 10:30 Saturday night. CBS Sports Network. San Diego State, 25-point favorite. Wyoming 1-9 against the spread after 3 straight conference games. San Diego State big here. It hurts.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Cowboys 1-9. 2 games left, boys.
Playing for
so there's that. There's your wrap up for the games this week. Now, what's the deal with Patterson? Our Holy Tribe Trolls over in Germany.
He is in fact in Germany, so we will work to get his audio clip inserted here, and you guys will just have to listen to figure out who he picks and what he has to say about us. I'm sure nothing but kind words per usual from him. But yes. So that'll be coming next if we got it. If not, let's get into ours.
All right, you guys got Kansas, Utah -6. I have Houston, Memphis over 70.5, and per usual, Dan's is on the board first, but has not revealed it. So, Dan, what's your lock of the week?
Yeah, I said it earlier. It's from the lightning round. Another pick. 2 weeks in a row, I'm actually staying on the board. It feels a little bit uncomfortable. I'm going with Florida -7.5 at South Carolina. A couple reasons. One, I just don't get the line. This South Carolina team is far inferior talent-wise. One of the suspicions heading into the year with South Carolina was that the pond probably wasn't as stocked as it should be, and that's presented itself over the first 3 quarters of the season. And I think coming off of Vanderbilt's the really embarrassing win against Vanderbilt, the Gators to bounce back, I'm sure McElwain will be ripping them a new keister. Give me Florida -7.5 lock of the week.
Good deal. And I haven't looked at anything not to watch, but I'm going to say don't watch that game.
I've got North Texas at Tennessee on ESPN, or not ESPN, SEC Network. That is probably going to be a bloodbath.
Oh, boy.
Is this that weird week where the SEC plays just all their shitty non-conference games?
I believe the shutdown full cast called it the SoCon Invitational.
It starts this week and it goes to the next three, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Quite the contrary, actually.
Yeah. Good stuff. What before we wrap up here, what are you guys doing on this weekend? Ken, what are you up to?
Still have nothing exactly nailed down. Very fluid situation, but our friend 10 Second Tom may be in town. May meet up with him if he's in the city. How about you guys? Yeah.
Dan, what about you?
I will be viewing the Pitt game at noon on ESPN News, one of about 16 people in the area. And then I will actually – I don't know that I broke the news on the podcast, the somber news, but I've got some positive news that we're going to celebrate. My Uncle Terry, who had a sort of brain cancer – I'm not going to even try and butcher the name – has now been cleared. There's nothing but really scar tissue left, so Uncle Terry's in good shape, and we're going to celebrate. So.
Excellent. That's what I got. Great news.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Very shout out to you, Uncle
was
Terry.
On.
Was not operated. Just oral chemo and radiation, I believe, was his treatment for 6 weeks.
Nice.
Good to hear about Uncle Terry.
I will be heading to our nation's capital Saturday. Meet up with some of the gang from the wedding in California a few months back. Gonna partake in a neighborhood Friendsgiving.
Oh, it's that weekend.
Friendsgiving, yes. It was a week. We did one here last year at the house, but this year I'm going to a different one a week earlier. Dinner is at 2.
You're making me jealous. You are making me jealous.
Very fired up for that. A lot of cool people there. And after that, I'll be sitting down all nice, fat, and sassy watching the Irish. Probably in upstairs bedroom TV because no one's going to want to watch
no
that.
No one else is going to watch that. Want to watch that
dish? So that was several glasses of wine on Saturday. Pretty fired up.
Excellent.
And I'm threatening if I can find a road dog. Jags are in Baltimore this weekend.
Ooh.
I know the Jags were up this ways last weekend.
Yes, I have my eyes on that. But the wedding got in the way. Obviously. Check us out on Twitter, guys. Holy Try Football. Tell your friends. Leave us a review or a rating, something. So let's see some pop up there. I'm talking to you, Will. And that's all I got for tonight. You guys got anything else?
Nothing here.
I got nothing.
Very efficient tonight, guys. Good work. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends. From me, AY here, from the beautiful state capital of Commonwealth, Pennsylvania, and D-Berg out west, or down south now.
Good night, all.
In Kansas, my northeast.
Have a fantastic night, my friends.
And once again, guys, thanks for listening. Tell your friends, and have a good one.